Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the ATRT3 plenary number 61 on the 22nd of April, 2020 at 1100 UTC. Members attending the call are Tola, Cheryl, Daniel, Jacques, Yap, Vanda, and Leon. Observers are Everton, Jim, Herb, and Avery. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer, Nagar, Brenda, and technical writer Bernie is on the call. We have Sebastian will be delayed today. And I might note that Daniel mentioned he can only stay for the first hour. Today's meeting is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking. And Cheryl and Pat, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Didn't think I heard you say Pat in the roll call. Perhaps you did, but I definitely know he's here. Cheryl Langdon off the transcript record. Thank you all for joining our call today. Is there anyone who has a statement of interest update that they need to let us know about? Just remind you all, we do work under a system of continuous disclosure. Not hearing anybody or seeing anything in the chat, we will assume that it is not the case. I note there is some interesting weather banter going on in chat. I gather there is some rather brisk and unfriendly cold weather afflicting our Canadian friends. Let's move straight into just a quick review of the agenda, which is not terribly complicated, but all very important. We have, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like doing a drum roll, now updated the version to be a new version 2.0, and we'll be going through our report version 2.0 to look at changes since our last meeting. We're also going to dive into the review of section 11. Not going to take us terribly long, but it's there and it's as requested from our discussions last week. We're also going to look at the future of our calls and how frequent they need to be. We'll do any other business. And if you have any other business that you want to flag to us now, please let us know by putting it in chat. But we will make a call for any other business again before we close off. We'll do our usual confirm of action items and decisions reached. And that will be it for number 61. And we are, I think, progressing very well as we start to get into the penultimate, if not ultimate, stage of our report. So with that, not seeing anybody wanting to bring any other business, let's dive right in. And with that, I'm going to ask Bernie to not take us through Section 11, but all of the changes that have been made as we've moved into version 2.0. Over to you.
Okay, well, I was actually hoping to do section 11 first, which is why Brenda put it there.
Well, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, I just was dutifully going through the agenda.
Yes,
I did jump out of action items because I think this was the only action item to create a section 11.
All right. thank you for indulging the odd number here. Section 11, you'll remember from our last call, we decided to add a section where we would prioritize our recommendations. We had discussed and there was no opposition to high priority being Section 8 on the reviews and Section 10 regarding prioritization. Medium was Section 9, accountability and transparency of strategic and operational plans and accountability indicators, and low priority. We had recommendation from Section 3 on priority input and Section 7 regarding ATRT2. So straightforward, KISS as it were, keep it simple. Want to know if that is okay. Going once.
So is the queue open?
Pat's
that's what he sums
okay
up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm okay with it.
great, because what I have done then is whenever we refer to our recommendations, I've placed them in that order in other places in the text. All right, our next major section of changes was from section 9. Brenda, please. That's 8, so a little lower. Okay, keep going down. Okay, oh, back up, top of 9.3, please. So we had mentioned that we removed the best practices, went to good. And if we go down a bit, the next major change was, stop there. Thank you. I removed board reports because really they weren't updating against strategic objectives. So just removed that bullet. When we were considering other things, it made sense. Right now, it didn't. Then if we keep going down past the further down. Okay. And then there was the change on the date to AT for the accountability indicators. ATRT and the phrasing also had to change at the beginning. So we have ATRT3 hoped that the ICANN accountability indicators would provide some clear progress reporting versus the goals for 2016-20 strategic plan, as the indicators presented in this website perfectly mapped to the goals in that strategic plan. So that's the only change. We've removed the date and fixed the phraseology a bit. And then that takes us down to the other changes we had talked about. I removed references to the public consultations. And then it takes us down to the bottom of this section, where basically I've removed the recommendation and put it in the recommendation section. So we conclude with, as such, ATRT3 is making a multi-part recommendation with respect to the accountability and transparency of strategic and operational plans. If we go down a bit, more, so we've got the two things. We've removed page limits, etc. But then, oh, stop there. Okay, so we've added a new bullet here. So instead of trying to repeat that we're asking ICANN to do something relative to the 21-25 strategic plan and 21 operating plan in each of the two bullets above, we've created a new bullet just for that. So for 2021-25, let's read it. Plan and 21 operating plan, ICANN or shall produce a supplementary document using the criteria defining success in reporting on the progress of any relevant goal outcome, operational initiative, etc., to create a listing of required rationales and specific criteria defining success as defined by ATRT3 in this recommendation for each goal, strategic or not, outcome targeted or not, operational initiatives, etc., that are found in both of these documents, and post it for public consultation prior to finalization. Once finalized, ICANN ORC will append these to the 21-25 strategic plan and 21 operating plan and use the criteria defining success in reporting on the progress of any relevant goal, outcome, operational initiative, etc. So as we discussed last week, you'll remember Osvaldo was uncomfortable with us talking about reviewing the strategic plan and the operating plan. I think everyone was supportive of that, but also supportive that ICANN needed to produce something according to our guidelines, because it's a 5-year period. So we've added that bullet point. So is that okay? Okay, I'm getting green ticks. Cheryl, your thumb is still up. Even better, we get Osvaldo. I like the proposal. Okay. And Sheldon brings me a thumbs up again. All right, folks. Last chance here. Going once, going twice. Okay, great. So what I have done then, and I'm not going to go through it in detail, is I've redone the checklist for the recommendations, because it's not the same recommendations as we had with the accountability indicators. And as usual, they're just basically precis of this section, or straight out copying of this section, brought into the checklist. And I'll let you go through those at your will. All right, so then the following changes, we will go right to the top of the document, please, Brenda. All right. So we have our executive summary, and way at the bottom of this section, the main change is, okay, right there. ATRT 3 concludes this report by making these five recommendations in order of priority. So we have used the same prioritization scheme as presented in section 11 of the report. And these are the same summaries of the recommendations which we presented at our last meeting. So I am not going to run through them. So we have high priority section 8 and section 10, if we go down just a bit. And then we move into medium priority, where we've got section 9, which we've just finished discussing. And then on low priority, we have section 3, which is public input, and then followed by section 6. Sorry, headset faded. Followed by ATRT 2. So those are, in certain cases, summaries of the recommendations. In the case of ATRT 2, it's the whole recommendation, because it's not very long. And the other place where this impacted it is a little later in the sections where we have the full recommendations. So if we go down there, Brenda, it'll be 4 or 5 pages later, I think. A summary of major findings, and there we go. So review team suggestions and recommendations. So the only thing that has changed here is ATRT3 makes five recommendations in order of priority, high priority. In here, what we've done, there is that point, which is why I highlighted. We'll get back to this in a sec. And so all the recommendations are exactly as they are. And here we are proposing a change on the reviews for RDS. We said we would look at just canceling it. Someone pointed out to me that the public consultation on the final EPDP report only closed on the 6th of April, and that there may be changes yet. And then the recommendations have to be or not approved by the board. So I discussed this with Pat and Cheryl, and we thought it was a good idea to follow up and make this similar to the SSR recommendation. So let's read it. Given the final results of the EPDP process will certainly have an impact on any future RDS reviews, and could even remove the need for any future specific reviews on this topic. And considering that ATRT3's final report will be published prior to the EPDP publishing its final report, ATRT3 recommends suspending any further RDS reviews until the next ATRT review can consider the future of RDS reviews in light of the final EPDP report recommendations, the results of the board's consideration of these, as well as the prioritization of these according to ATRT3's recommendation on prioritization, if applicable. So basically, what we're saying doesn't really change the recommendation to a large extent. We're still saying that there should not be one until the next ATRT, and then the next ATRT should look at that. And when I wrote this up in Section 8, I gave some more logic to it, which we will go to. But I see Sebastian's hand. Please, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you very much. And sorry to be late. I don't know really where we are. But here, specifically on this, I consider that the EPDP is just one element. And in fact, I don't care about EPDP. EPDP, the fact that the EPDP is going on, it's a result or it's an answer that we don't need RDS anymore reviews. Why? I consider that the is a, in fact, historically, it was a WIS review. WIS, it's gone. And now it's named RDS, but it was not the request of the affirmation of commitment. And the fact that WIS was on one of the review, it's because it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago that still no issue to move WIS to something else. Now we are in something else. And frankly, what I would like to see is no more of those review. If there is a need for the future, EPDP result, it's just one element that show that ICANN is taking care of the future of WIS or the replacement of WIS, and therefore there is no specific needs for a review. It's why I personally consider that we may say we stop it. We and the RDS EPDP it's just one element of good health of this work within ICANN today. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Sebastian. As I said, I don't think this is going to change a lot, but this was trying to be consistent and conservative in doing this, and don't feel I'm going to die in the ditch on this one. Anybody else?
Just a minor editorial point from formatting and an extra period in the chat from Jacques, that's all.
Yep, I saw that. And I have Osvaldo.
Yes, Osvaldo for the record. Yes, I'm not sure. We don't know how long it will take for the EPDP to publish its final report. So what you're saying is that there won't be any RDS review till after the EPDP final report, and then it will, the decision whether to continue with the RDS reviews will be taken. Is that right? Sorry.
Not quite. Is the decision to continue or not with what this says is that the decision to continue or not with RDS reviews would be taken after ATRT4.
Okay.
And Sebastian's point is there, it's not only EPDP, the fact there's GDRP and other factors are causing that the RDS review is no real, I mean, we might as well take the decision here and just say, as we previously did, that there's no longer a need for it and be canceled. Anybody else? Osvaldo.
Yes, I was considering this. I would prefer your proposal than to just eliminate the RDS reviews. That way, we leave the decision open to after the EPDP final report and the implementation of some of its recommendations. So it's much more flexible to have to take the decision after you see what happened in the middle. That's what I would prefer your proposal.
All right, thank you, Osvaldo. Yes, that's what I was trying to do here, is be conservative and sort of matches exactly what we're saying for the SSR review. All right, so we have two views. We have some for the text. We have some against the text. Sebastian, you're next.
Yeah, thank you, Sebastian. SSR, it's a review itself. We need to have them after. Here we are talking about policy development process, even if it's a EPDP, and it's not a review, and it's one of the elements of the work, and there are other work going on in ICANN in general, in GNSO more in particular, about what next, about who is, and then today RDS and. I really feel that EPDP is not one element we need to who may change the view about a need for a future RDS review or not. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sebastian. Okay. Anybody else? I'm going to be mean here and put Pat on the spot. Pat, do you have any thoughts on this? Please go ahead.
I'm muted. All right. So I'm actually supportive of killing RDS altogether, just because I think that the initial implementation of this was driven by something very specific with the U.S. government. But I also believe that we should be consistent within the document. So I'm supportive, Bernie, of the wording that we have in here, in a hope that ATRT4 kills this altogether. So I would leave it the way that you've got it.
All right, thank you.
But when we do get a chance, I do want to come back to something that popped in my mind about priorities and the way we list the priorities.
All right. Sebastian.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. But Sebastian Marshall speaking. I think, to be consistent, we are in charge of reviewing the reviews, not reviewing each and every PDP, even if it's an important one as the EPDP. It's why, if we want to be consistent, we have the RDS review report, and considering all that, we think we can kill the future. There is no need for a future RDS review. That's my consistency. But I understand the other one, but I don't feel comfortable with it. Thank you.
All right, folks. So we have, how about we take a, oh, I see Pat's hand. Pat.
Thanks, Bernie. Just as a follow-up with Sebastian, the thing about the EPDP for GDPR is that there's going to be a lot of issues around privacy and access to data and those kinds of things that are going to come out of that policy development process. And I don't know or have any idea what will be accepted or not, because there's even questions going back to what the board has accepted as part of the phase one recommendations. And the board looks like they're taking a little bit. They're moving the definition of what they approved from the phase one. So I just want to be cautious to Bernie's point and be conservative. That should something come out of that process that ends up being a true accountability mechanism, that we either identify something specific that rolls into an ATRT for the future, or does it need to be separate because it's very distinct on its own? So I just think that there's enough possibilities of something else coming up out of that we should leave it open like this.
Thank you, Pat. Seb.
Thank you. Do you really think that it will be a need for RDS? We might need something about privacy review. We might need something more specific, but here we are talking about RDS. I would say as it is today. It's why I understand your point of view, but my consideration is that AT-RT3 killed it, and AT-RT4 can create a new one about privacy review or whatever topics they want to. But why we will ask them to do two things, one killing RDS and the other one creating another one, or to be obliged to follow on with the RDS. It's why really I consider that we must decide to kill it, and AT-RT4 will have the possibility to create whatever review team they want to suggest. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Sebastian. Leon, can I put you on the spot, and can you give us your thoughts on this?
Sure, Brady. I am not sure what to say about this, but I would like to see a little bit more of what others think.
All right, thank you. Sorry for putting you on the spot there, Jacques.
Yes. So I have been participating in the very initial RDS reviews. It's a bit of a dual feeling. If you know, RGPD notwithstanding and privacy notwithstanding, if things do stay as they are, then Sebastian is right. Let's kill it. Well, let's propose to kill it, because we're not doing anything. By the way, we just recommend something. We're not doing it. It's just a recommendation. And that's kind of important, because, you know, then, you know, the decision may be something else. So, but on the other hand, I have seen, you know, some voices chime in and say, hey, you know what? If we really want to have a truthful WHOIS, and something that we can rely on, you know, then let's you know, for example, make a category of domain names which would be certified, where you would have to push your ID forward, for example. I don't know under what conditions and so on. So in this case, you would have, again, an RDS review needed. So all in all, when I consider everything and I consider we're recommending something, I personally would tend to leave the door open and let, you know, history follow its way until next time there's relevant elements about this.
Thank you, Jacques. Anybody else? Cheryl, next.
Hi, thanks, Bernie. Cheryl Langdon, off the record. Not venturing an opinion, but just noting, oh, Sebastian has his hand up again. We'll go back to you now, Sebastian, but I was thinking that what we might do on this, I mean, we've heard from a number of people. I was going to see if we could find out if anyone is less undecided or less conservative and wishes to support the harder line. That's all, Sebastian, and then.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Just to say that some time ago, when I was a member of the board, we the board wanted to kill WHOIS and replace it by RDS. And then, yes, it was not our responsibility. Therefore, it went to GNSO, and it takes a lot of time to decide to change. And I will not come back to the whole history of that. And it's why really I consider that our view here, it's important, and I consider we will help the organization in killing RDS now, and AT-RT4 will be able to recreate or to create or to do what they want. But for now, it's time to say, okay, it's done. What it was set up for reason by US government, by GAC, by and so on and so forth, and agree with ICANN, and now it's done. We are in another period. We are not talking anymore about WIS, and we don't need this renew name RDS review anymore. Thank you. That's my last word.
Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you, Sebastian.
Cheryl, yeah. Your hand is still up.
Sorry, no, it shouldn't be. I'll drop it down. Let's go to Leon.
Leon.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Bernie. Okay, so having listened to the rest of the team. So, I mean, I lean towards leaving this recommendation as is. I agree that WHOIS is so to speak, dead, although I don't like to say it's dead. But it's definitely not what it used to be, and will never go back to what it used to be, I guess, in light of the current circumstances. Although we don't know, maybe GDPR is reformed, and I mean, there are lots of things that could happen that we don't know. So as I said, my feeling is that RDS makes really little sense to me at this time. But however, I would remain open to say whatever comes out of the PDP should be reviewed by the next ATRT. So that's what I'm reading, at least the way I read it and I understand it. That's what we are putting into this recommendation. So I would support it, leaving it as is.
Thank you, Leon. Yes, that's exactly what it says. Cheryl, over to you. Let's wrap this up.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. So this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, well, first of all, I'm noting that the two views are not terribly different. I mean, well, they are slightly different, but they're not very far apart. It's more a matter of how definitive to be and timing. But Sebastian, we've definitely heard, and in all cases, I think, understand, if not actually agree with what you're saying. But I'm not hearing as much of an appetite from the rest of the review team to be as definitive as you're encouraging us to be in the report. What I am hearing is more people comfortable with the albeit conservative text, which is in keeping with and echoes in many ways the recommendation that we're making on SSRT. But I also have noted people who are very neutral as well. So I guess what I'd like to do now is make a last call on this for anyone who wishes to support the proposal that Sebastian has argued quite extensively, and I'm sure we do all understand it, that this ATRT3 should recommend no further activities in the area of RDS review. And if you do wish to support that, and that we, you know, we have text very easily slotable in here, let us know now. If not, what I believe I've heard, and Pat, tell me if I'm wrong, is a preference for this, albeit more conservative, and leave it for a while and see what happens. But there's an inevitability. So it's a bit, it's slightly different, but, you know, the death knell is ringing. So if there's anyone who feels as strongly as Sebastian does on this, please let yourself know now. And I'm not seeing anybody jump to the defence there, Sebastian. So I guess the next question to ask you, is this a you cannot live with it issue? Sebastian?
Sometimes when you ask me tough question, I need to think about. I have not straight.
No problem. The answer. I just didn't want to I can
live with whatever we will decide. But I really feel what I suggest, and I feel that we will help ICANN if we kill it today and leave AT-RT4 to decide what they want to do with any of those topics in the future, because the discussion on the chat about the name, yes, WIS, what is WIS, RDS, RDAP, and so on and so forth. What that create more questions than solution. It's why, but I can live with that. I just consider that if we take the a PDP whatever in this review, we need to be sure that there is no PDP going on other type of the discussion, for example, for the CCT or for SSR going in parallel with what we are doing. Just if we want to be equal everywhere, and I have no answer if we are not, it's important that we take into account any work done in the other topics who are not the review, because here we are entering in a slippery side, I think, if we talk about a PDP. But to answer your question, at the end of the day, it's not that we cause me to disagree with the full report. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Sebastian. I think it's important to get that on the record as we go forward. So I believe, Bernie, we are in the position with this text that at this stage, and remember, we haven't made a final consensus call on any document yet. This is the preferred text, so it would appear that this is the text that will go into our ultimate report for our final consideration. But obviously, there's still an opportunity. Should the debate that we've had. Back to you, Bernie.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, everyone, for the consideration. This is obviously not our last crack at this. Of course, there will be a full review of the final report. Okay, Pat, you had some thoughts on prioritization.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. It's just that when we went through high, medium, and low, those are relative to our priorities, not necessarily low priorities as we push them out to be prioritized across other recommendations throughout the community, right?
Correct.
So if we could put the notion at the header that these are relative to our recommendations, I think that would be useful.
I can do that. All right. Thank you. Okay, I have one more sort of strategic question as I was, and I have a green tick from Sebastian. Yes, it shall be done. So it is written, so it shall be done, as it were. I was rereading our report, and it struck me on the reviews recommendation. We have this very long recommendation. We talk about a lot of things. But we don't include in there that we're asking ICANN to hold any future reviews until it makes a decision on this. Now, if we include that in the recommendation, it's a little unfortunate. So I have this issue. We're making suggestions on sweeping changes to the recommendations, especially the organizational reviews, and yet some are supposed to start in the near future. And as we know, it takes a while for the board to properly assess these and consider them and makes a decision. And it would be, I guess, unfortunate if some contracts were let to get organizational reviews going while we're, and then if this recommendation gets approved, I guess it would sort of be cutting the legs under it. So open suggestion, folks, how do we want to handle that? Do we want to just throw it in the recommendation or do we want to leave our recommendation at it as is and in our transmission letter to the board sort of say, oh, by the way, you'll note that in recommendation for section 8, we're proposing significant changes to the specific and organizational reviews. And as such, we recommend that you hold off holding any of those. Pat, help me.
So Bernie, I like the latter suggestion that you made to make it part of the transmittal, because it would be kind of a catch-22 to where our recommendation is to delay the organizational reviews, yet the recommendation hasn't been accepted by the board.
Yes, exactly. That was my point.
So I really like the idea of putting it as part of the transmittal.
Yeah, I think that's why I suggested that. I think that's our only way out here. But I'll be glad to, I am happy, transmittal test. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Not seeing any. All right. Yeah, oh, sorry, Sebastian.
Thank you. I have one. When archaeologists will come to this text and they will not have the transmissional letter and they will try to find out what's happened, they will be in trouble. No, joke aside, I would prefer an introduction to the document who could be the same that the transmittal text, but I would like that included in the document just to not have need to read two different documents to know the full story.
I think that makes perfect sense. Once we craft the text and include it in the transmittal letter, we certainly can refer to it in the executive summary and in the section 8 so that there is a very clear understanding that there was this request and you don't have to go digging for a letter. Well, I think your archaeological thing is quite correct, because I did quite a bit of digging for this report and I certainly understand that. All right, so if we're okay with that, then I would call that our belt and suspenders approach. Okay for everyone? Cheryl gives me a thumbs up. And Sebastian gives, and it's raining green ticks and thumbs up. All right, folks, so it is written, so it shall be done, or so it shall be written. Okay, Madam Chair, back to you. That's all the changes I have.
Very exciting, Lily. Thank you very much. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. We really don't have anything else that we need to do on this version 2.0. And Sebastian, because we were unable to join us at the beginning of the call, we did make a little bit of a joy and celebration about noting that we are now officially in version 2.0. So it's the nomenclature has finally changed. So I hope you'll be pleased about that, because I know you've been keen to see that happen. So Bernie, where are we now in this text getting towards final polish? Do you want to give us a little preamble or a preparation for our next agenda item, which is discussing the cadence of future calls?
Well, no, it's my precious. I will never let it go. No, I'll be glad to let us go. Where I am at, I think, is, as I have said previously, I think we've reached the point where I will spend the next week going over this with a fine-tooth comb, just to make sure the logic and the points match, that all the elements in the checklist match what we've decided in our analysis and in our recommendations, fix up any typos and everything else, and try to have a final, what I would consider a final document for review by the group next week.
Okay, Bernie, can I ask by next week, thinking about now the cadence of the meetings, would the timing on that be better to be the usual Wednesday meeting or what is now the usual Friday meeting? In other words, would the 29th of April or the 1st of May be the best time for us to slot that into our plan?
Again, being conservative, I would prefer the Friday.
Okay, all right. So what we've heard then, ladies and gentlemen, is that with this text going off to be laundered, purified, and have all its I's dotted and its T's crossed, the intention is to have an ultimate text for our purview and review on May the 1st. And so what we could do is, in fact, not hold, because I'm not sure, unless someone can give us a reason to, that we will now need to hold our Friday meeting this week. We could, if you wish, hold a mini meeting on Wednesday, but I'm less confident that we'll have very much on our agenda if we do. And so it would mean that for once, because of all your additional work, and you've all done a huge amount, we would be not meeting until 10 days from now. So was it 9 days? 9 days from now. And that would be a meeting on the 1st of May. And I'm assuming that meeting would be the 20 or 2100 UTC time. Is that correct, Jennifer?
One second.
Sorry. And Osvaldo says that it's a holiday. Yes, it is, of course, a holiday in various parts of the world. Although I'm not sure many people will be running around doing maypoles in large numbers, and unless they're very big maypoles with 1.5 metre distance between everybody. So, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I am happy that it's on Friday. Yes, it's 1st of May, but that's good that we will have a meeting of ATRT3 like that. My demonstration, usually on the street, will not be feasible, then I will come with you. I just want to ask two questions related to the document. First one, can we be sure that any changes, even from Bernie, going on now, is recorded or it's visible by us? Because I would like to start reading again the full document, and because I don't think waiting for May will be enough time for me. And my second point is that, as you know, I like some graphics, and I would like to have your point of view if we publish this my proposal graphics, and if you want me to update it to be more in line with what we say now in our 2.0 document. Thank you.
I'm going to let Bernie respond to some of that, but I would note, with all of the discussion on holidays or not, that of course 2200 UTC for everybody else in the world excepting me is late in the day, not early in the day. In fact, for me, it's early on my following day, so I'll be talking to you on Saturday morning, my Saturday morning. So it's probably not a huge impost. And as someone said, I think it was Tola in the chat, we're all home anyway. So let's get Jennifer to have a look at the timing on that and try and organise the 2200 providing the staff support can be organised for it. Bernie, to you to deal with the graphics and, of course, the availability of watching and track changing and observing anything that goes on with 2.0.
Thank you. Yes, I absolutely agree with Sebastian. I'll clean up the document, and any changes after today, I will use a suggestion mode so they're tracked. So that's not a problem. And as far as the graphic, yes, it's still in there. So an updated version, I think at this point, would be very useful. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So Sebastian, if you could take that action item to update the graphic, that would be excellent. I understand, Jennifer, that we would have had it as 1100 UTC if indeed we had held all the meetings between now and it. I was suggesting 2200, in other words, the latest of the timings for the meeting, because it's a rotation of our times from today's call. So I do understand the difference. I guess we can discuss which one you want. Certainly there's no skin off my nose one way or the other, but I would have thought the later time would be the safest. Just a little bit of more flexibility, and should anyone be doing anything on the 1st of May, it should give them most of the day to themselves. All right, so 2100 UTC, is there anyone who objects to 2100 UTC on May the 1st as our next formal meeting? Excellent. Looks like we've got that sorted. Sorry, paying for the data and power. Sorry, am I getting from there's several things happening in chat. Am I getting that 2100 UTC is too early for Sebastian and Shark? Is what time do you propose?
If I may, Sebastian speaking, in general, there is no big deal, but it happens that during this period, I am working at 5 a.m. That's 3 a.m. UTC during the weekend, and it's then if we finish at 11, it will be 1 a.m. for me when we finish here, and I will have to wake me up at 5, and I need to sleep sometime. But it's one of the reasons I would prefer the 1100 UTC. But if it's not possible, I will come anyhow. Anyway, thank you. Just to let you know my trouble.
Thank you. Well, I'm most concerned about your trouble, sir. I won't even start about what happens when you live in a UTC plus 10 or 11 time zone, however. With that, let's see. We seem to have a tension between an 1100 or 2100 UTC. Do you want a poll now between those two? All right, let's do a quick poll. If you prefer 1100 UTC on the 1st of May for the next call, please put a green tick up. Pat, if you can do a count, please. Easy, because you're counting yourself as well. I'm not going to vote either way because my care factor is low.
Cheryl, I show 6 in support of 11 UTC.
And I've got Toth Tola and Yap saying that, well, Yap saying he doesn't mind. He's like me, doesn't mind either way. And
all right, I've had a couple late additions. Okay. I've had a couple, Leon jumped into that, so I now have 7 that showing favor.
All right. Well, it seems to me that the preference is actually for the earlier time of the day. So be it. Okay. All right, then. That is fine. So, Jennifer, just to keep us utterly confused and a very flexible set of notes, I'm sure you've taken. We're now back to 1100 UTC on the 1st of May. Dear, it's like organising a sharing out of who pays what after we've all shared dinner. It's the same amount of confusion when one tries to organise a time for anything. Okay, Jacques is delighted. I've even got a capital thanks from him. Okay, so 1100 UTC, and I think it's going once, going twice, going thrice, and sold. Bernie, over to you.
Thank you. Just a quick note. I don't think it's going to be that long of a call. We'll be walking through any changes that will be highlighted that I will have made in the document after today. So just to be clear with everyone, I think it's just going to be explaining what those changes are, where they are. But the big thing is going to be allowing everyone to comb through the report. I also do not expect there to be any significant changes. There will be editorial changes. If there are a few inconsistencies, those will be fixed and pointed out. But I'm really not at this point expecting anything major. And so I would expect, touch wood, that there will be nothing major on that call and that we should get through it rather quickly. Thank you.
Excellent. Certainly at the time of night it is for me, I will appreciate that. So does that mean then, Bernie, after our meeting of the 1st of May at 1100 UTC, we will be locking the version, whatever it is by then, to a final report that we can then have a consensus call on? Is that the intention? Timing-wise, I mean, it is the intention, but is that going to work for timing?
Yes, that's the idea.
Excellent. All right, then. So with that, you all need to get your heads into the right space. That your last gasp at making commentary and trying to get any changes into our document, our version 2.0, will be some 9 days hence. You are able to look at, during all of the time between now and then, the report as the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and a few paragraphs are formatted, and one page has an orphan word removed, because Bernie knows I get very nervous when I have formatting that has words or sentences orphaned. He'll work very hard to make that happen, I'm sure. And with that, those subject to toilet, all the changes that we expect to see on the document of the 1st of May should be very much in keeping with a final report that we will then take a consensus call on. Bernie, back to you for a moment.
Thank you. Just from experience, folks, I'm not going to track changes in formatting, okay? It just makes everything way too ugly and sometimes cascades. So I will. There will be changes in formatting, I am sure, but if text is not touched, it will not be tracked, unless there is opposition to that. Thank you.
Well noted, Bernie, Cheryl, for the record. I'm sure that what we all want to see is any changes in text, so it's substantive document changes, not the toilet that may still even go on after the 1st of May, but they will be things that will be very minor, otherwise it would need to come back to the plenary. Okay, so with that, we now come to the and it's a very business. Do we have any other business? Salva, go ahead.
Yes, regarding the objections that ISPCP that I presented in the last call to the elimination of the organizational review and the systemic review. My understanding was that there was going to be an explanation of the process to see how it includes what was included in the organizational review. Also, just to let you know, there has been a support from the IPC and the VC regarding some of the objections, and particularly the organizational review, but I think they have other objections to regarding our recommendations. So I would like to know if are we going to get a more detailed explanation of the process so I can transmit it to the to my constituency. Thank you.
Certainly, do I understanding, Osvaldo, Bernie?
Yes, I've started thinking about what can be added, and as per the rules of engagement that we have agreed to today, if I add that more elements of that text, it'll be in track changes. But I don't think we're going to have a separate document. We're just going to include that in our document, and I haven't had time to actually write that right yet, but it's still on my radar. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other business? If not, I think Pat and I have a small piece of any other business to informally bring you up to date with. Pat, I haven't checked my emails for a few hours before this call, so I don't know if there was an email following up Martin's informal message to you and I over my night, but through your day. Was there any, there may be something in the works, but have we received anything formally to pass on to the plenary? Otherwise, I think we should just make a brief mention of our message from Martin.
No, I haven't seen where it's been posted, but there's been no follow-up email from what we got from Wendy.
Okay. All right. Just to say that the chairman of the board had stated his thanks for receiving our note, our email message regarding our progress. He understands that it's the health of our community and, of course, the difficult times that we're working in at the moment that are the priority and the most important, I'm paraphrasing here, the most important issues, and appreciates the additional effort that you've all made to still do our very best to bring our job home as close as possible to our scheduled time. And he looks forward to obviously seeing our final report in due course, but as soon as possible. Have I missed anything, Pat, while I've been paraphrasing?
Nope, I think you got it.
And Leon just wanted to add that the chair sentiment is shared across the board. Well, thank you, Leon. It's good to know, but I must say I was relatively pleased to get that chat message to Pat and I from Martin overnight. Sebastian, over to you.
Yeah, but just to be sure, Sebastian Machel is speaking. We got a mail from Jennifer yesterday in my evening, and Vanda, Tola, and Daniel have answered it. It seems that it's a letter you are talking about, and it's it seems to be the official letter, no? Or you are talking about something else?
I was talking about a message, but...
But we received an official letter on Jennifer Sanders to her to us yesterday at 4:40 p.m. UTC. Thank you.
Well, Pat obviously hadn't seen it, neither have I. So our message came through earlier, and I'm just delighted to see that the formalities have followed the informality that we were delighted to receive. So, didn't need to waste your time bringing you all up to date on it, apparently. So, excellent. You all know what we now know. Is there anything else, Pat, we need to deal with tonight before we confirm? I think it is only one action item, but might be one more if Jennifer's being clever. I don't know.
Yes, Cheryl, this is Pat. I don't have anything else.
Okay. In which case, Jennifer, what have we got?
Thank you. So I took a couple of actions. Barney's going to do a review of the document and make final updates and tracked changes to produce a document for the team's final review on the 1st of May. And between now and then, an action item for team members to make final comments in the document ahead of that meeting. We're going to cancel the calls up until that 1st of May meeting, which will be at 1100 UTC. And Sebastian took an action item to update the graphic, I believe was in the accountability indicators section, but I may have misheard that one. So Sebastian, please correct me if I'm wrong there. Other than that, that's all I captured for today. Thank you.
It's a document, the review agenda or the review calendar that I have to update.
Oh, it's got it. Thank section. You. Yeah, okay, you. I know which one you mean. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. All right then, well, with that, Pat, do you have anything we need to deal with before we ask Brenda to close us off?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you to our passionate viewing audience. I do appreciate you all making the time to join us in these calls. I firmly believe that some of you are more than just de facto members of the team, so we really do appreciate you keeping us on the straight and narrow with your presence. With that, thank you one and all, and I'll ask you, Brenda, to stop the recording, and today's call has now come to an end. So thank you, one and all, and bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Safe.
You.